Because of listeners like you, Preborn has helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, September 16th, and tomorrow will be just the 1 week since we saw the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk. And what has happened in this week has just been an incredible response for the Lord in our nation and in our world. And my good friend Eric Metaxas, if you haven't listened to his show yesterday, I would encourage you to do that. There have been so many great Christian voices who have responded to this moment, and he's one of them. And I was listening to part of that show this morning, and he was saying that there have been so many people that have responded to the Lord, not just I need to read my Bible. I need to proclaim the name of the Lord, which of course is fundamental and foundational. But then going the step beyond that to say, I want to live now in my faith in action, in a way that they have seen through Charlie Kirk's testimony. And I don't know about you, but I mean, and as you all know, I was blessed to know Charlie personally. And yet, in watching so many of these reels over the last week, and, you know, all of them keep popping up anytime I open any social media app, it's always something about Charlie talking to a college student, talking to, you know, whoever is at the microphone, talking at a conference, speaking and proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. There have been a few things about policy, politics, or his views on other things, such as, you know, traditional marriage, pro-life, and having that apologetic. But so many of them have been about sharing his faith. And I feel like I missed an opportunity to know even more deeply that side of Charlie before he passed, because TPUSA, to me, with even knowing, you know, TPUSA Faith, and we're going to have someone from TPUSA Faith on this morning a little later on in the program, that, you know, has been for pastors and is a great element of this. But so much of what my perception of TPUSA was much more about political engagement. And yet, what we're seeing, all of the clips being shared, all of the response has been to Charlie's testimony and his faith. And that is a huge, huge opportunity that we have as Christians to go and do likewise. Likewise, Charlie was an apologist for his faith, and he could testify to the truth of the Lord in a way that I think we all need to model and to emulate. And we are seeing growth for the Lord like never before. And in fact, just to give you one anecdotal example, a friend of mine who I've known for several years texted me yesterday morning after my radio show, you know, at some point yesterday morning. And I've known her and her family for a while, and, you know, they know I'm a Christian. I've never really been particularly, you know, interested in things of God or speaking about the Lord. And obviously, where I could, I would talk about my faith and over the years. And she texted me and said, you know, this has hit me so hard. I really feel like I need to embrace Jesus. And I went out and bought my first Bible. And that was incredible. I mean, even in the years that I had knowing these friends, it was this moment that truly was a turning point. And we're seeing so much of that. And it's amazing. And it's wonderful. And we need to encourage that. And instead of being divisive or saying, you know, like there's so many people on social media right now saying, you know, well, this person isn't good enough to be the next Charlie, or this person, you know, I disagree with them on that. So, you know, we need to be championing everyone who is willing to speak the truth of the gospel of Christ first and foremost, but even those who are simply championing the right conservative policy. I mean, this is a moment that we need to engage. We are seeing growth for the Lord and for our country, contemplating how we get back to a moral and upright society like never before. And I just want to play maybe one or two clips about how Charlie was so winsome on this. And you may have heard some of these clips. You may not. I mean, there are so many of them. But even as I go and look at social media and a few of them pop up repeatedly, I still find I love listening to them. And I love seeing the joy that Charlie had in testifying to the truth. And so let's start with cut 10. This is Charlie on Grace and Truth.
So John 8, if I'm drawing from memory correctly, best embodies both Christ's mercy and love, but also his commitment to truth. And sometimes in the modern gospel, we overemphasize the grace and we underemphasize the truth.
Yeah.
And so we are far too willing to say, hey, Jesus loves everybody, but we don't get to the second part of the conversation that says Jesus doesn't want you to live in sin. So this is, in John 8, it's best embodied, right? Almost every Christian in this audience will be able to tell you the first part of this, which is a bunch of Sadducees and Pharisees who are standing around with rocks, and they're about to stone the prostitute woman. And Jesus comes up and says, let the first among you without sin cast the first stone. And everyone starts dropping the rocks. But what comes next shows that Christ is not just grace-focused, he's simultaneously truth-focused. He goes up to the woman who had a career in selling herself for sex and said, sin no more. Now, imagine today how much trouble you would get in if you would go up to somebody and say, stop sinning. You're being too judgmental. No, you're actually being Christ-like. So Jesus stood. He was 100% grace and truth. And that tension is very hard in a modern world, because we want to overemphasize grace when in reality Christ loves us too much to have us continue to live in sin. He wants us to try to elevate our actions to glorify God in all that we do.
Amen to that. And Charlie just kept teaching the truth. And one of my next favorites is someone asking him, how does he know that Christianity is true? This is cut 7.
Are you a Christian, by any chance?
Very, very much so.
Like, why is that exactly?
Oh, Jesus saved my life. I'm a sinner, gave my life to Christ, most important decision I ever made.
So you believe the Bible is real?
Yes, I believe the Bible is true and real.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, I could give you the technical answer. There's never been an archaeological discovery that has contradicted the truth of the Bible. And then, of course, the wisdom. There is not a truth of the Bible that if you apply to your life does not improve dramatically. And then finally, we have the most accurate and transparent, historically robust account that one can have of the most important figure ever to live in the history of the world, Jesus of Nazareth. And the resurrection is the pinpoint of my belief that Jesus did rise from the grave so that we may live.
What makes Christian mythology real?
So that's not mythology, but that is theology. If Genesis 1:1 and the resurrection is true, anything in the Bible is possible. You're looking at the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is creation. And then the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And I say, how do you know that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, show me another historical piece of a story where so many people willingly died a brutal death for a lie. Every single person around him had everything to lose, and yet they went to the absolute death, from Paul to Peter to the half-brother of James, saying that Jesus is Lord, Jesus rose from the dead. Not to mention, if you were going to fake a story, you would not use female witnesses in the ancient world. In the scriptures, it said that the women were the first one to see Jesus Christ. If you're trying to fake a story, you would never do that. Not to mention the 500 people that saw Jesus after he rose from the dead, and then the later church that lived under persecution under the belief that Jesus Christ was the Son of God.
And this, all of these clips, this is what this is about. It's what it's all about. It's not just about Republican versus Democrat, you know, Trump versus whoever. All of those things are important, of course, and we talk about policy and law and all of that, but it has to be rooted in truth, and ultimately, we need to be pointing people back to our Savior. That's what it's all about. And Charlie knew that and was an apologist because he studied first. He didn't just have a passion for Christ. He had a depth of knowledge that was incredible. And obviously so impactful. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, you know, I can't share my faith in that same way. And not all of us have the same gifts and talents, and not all of us would be able to literally take up the microphone like Charlie and to debate. And I was listening to my friend Andrew Clavin on Daily Wire and his just beautiful tribute and thoughts on his Friday show on Daily Wire, and he mentioned that as well. He said, you know, I don't debate because, you know, I don't think on my feet that quickly like Charlie, and that's okay. The point is that we need to seize every opportunity for Christ that we have. Several years ago, when I moved to Florida and first became a member of my church here, that first Sunday in January, so a few months after I moved, and then, you know, we're heading into the new year, my pastor talked about Ephesians 5 and taking advantage of every opportunity because the days are evil. That's what we're called to do. And that is the growth that we're seeing even among new Christians, among people who are interested in the Christian worldview and what Charlie's life is inspiring, and hopefully what our lives are inspiring, is to say, how can we imitate Christ more? And there are people on social media who are saying, you know, don't imitate Charlie, or don't, you know, put him up as the example. And to that, I would reject that and say, you know, even the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 is saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. This is why we have witnesses around us who convict us as fellow human beings to say, look at how I'm living my life, and go and do likewise, because ultimately we all should be imitators of Christ. And so these role models, if we're looking to the correct, the good, the righteous role models, we need those people in our lives to point us back to Christ. That's what the church is for. That hopefully is what your pastor is for, what the people who disciple you, who mentor you. Hopefully you are a mentor and discipling someone else who you are further along in your Christian walk. And it's helpful in our humanity to see others imitating Christ better than ourselves, so that we are spurred on to higher action. And the vice president yesterday, J.D. Vance, hosted Charlie Kirk's show, and I watched most of it. And, you know, it really struck me in that, first of all, his lower third, you know, didn't say, you know, Vice President J.D. Vance is formal, you know, whatever. He was just J.D. Vance, longtime friend of Charlie Kirk. And I thought, what a great way of, that's what he wanted to be known as. I want to be known as the friend of this great role model. And we should want to be known as friends of Christ. We should want to be known more than anything to make his name known and to be imitators and friends of Christ. But when the VP was talking about, you know, whole host of things, you know, he was on for over an hour, and he was talking at one point about his conversation with Charlie's wife, Erica Kirk, and in those moments before they escorted Charlie's body back to Arizona, and saying how beautiful it was in her remembering her marriage with him, saying that he never raised his voice to her. He never had foul language toward her. He never was callous toward her, and was always just trying to lift her up and be a better husband and father. And the vice president, on air for, you know, millions of people to watch, just as a husband and a father, said that testimony prompted him to say the best way he could honor Charlie, but also honor Christ, of course, which is the point, is to honor Christ. He wanted to be a better husband and father. And that was an incredible moment for our nation. because it wasn't just a friend of Charlie Kirk's. This is the sitting vice president of the United States that is saying, my life has been changed over the last week. I want to be a better husband and father. And he's admitting that to the nation, which is a moment of incredible humility. And I don't know that we appreciate the gravity of what that means for our country. I mean, we continue to pray for our leaders and say about our leaders that, you know, we hope that they will continue to be more Christ-like. And in this moment, I think our vice president, who is a Christian, he professes to be a Christian, is saying that his life is becoming even more Christ-like. That is an amazing, amazing thing. That is evidence of revival in this nation among our leaders. And I hope that he takes that to everyone else in the Trump administration and shares that as openly behind closed doors as he was willing to in front of all of us. And it's such an incredible thing to see those in power who are willing to have such humility and say, this moment as well turned me to be even more Christ-like. And I would encourage you this morning, as you're watching all of these videos, as we're still processing all of this, as we have this moment in our nation of a huge turning point back to the things of God, let's imitate Charlie's witness. Like Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And think about that. Respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life to lay aside all of the sin or do the things that you know God is wanting you to do that maybe you've put off, or stop doing the things that you know he's wanted you to stop doing. And, you know, my own conviction with Charlie's testimony, and I'll share this with you, my own conviction in listening to Charlie and how not just winsome he was, because usually that's kind of a synonym for spinelessness, right? When we say, oh, we need to be more winsome. We need to not offend people. No, it's not about that. It's about connecting with people. And it's about being bold in sharing your faith, but doing that in a way that is as connecting and bridge building as possible. And, you know, my personality type, I think, and also frankly, just, you know, kind of where I'm more tempted in sin is to be a lot more harsh than I should be. Especially to, you know, the people that you all have seen on social media, you know, I'll say to the morons out there, right? And it's not necessarily always wrong, but at times it can be, and it can be sinful. And my conviction is to reach out to people who have either hurt me in the past or who I've been too harsh with, and to bridge build and to say, we need to all link arms together in this fight. And as we are pushing forward to Christ, and as we're pushing forward to better conservative policy, that we're praying for our nation, better laws, better churches, better families, all of this, we need to bridge those relationships. It has amazed me over the last week to see how many friends Charlie had simultaneously, that a lot of these people absolutely hate each other, even within the movement, or they don't get along. But Charlie somehow got along with everyone, but also made them feel loved and appreciated. And he counseled them and advised them and was a friend to all of them simultaneously. That is hugely convicting for me, that I need to imitate Christ better like Charlie did. So that's my encouragement for this morning. We'll take a break here and come back with more on TPUSA faith and how we can be imitators of Christ, and read that passage in 1 Corinthians 11 this morning and be daily in the Word. Respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit in this moment. What is it that he has for you to do or to lay aside so that you can run your race harder and with more endurance, looking to him as the author and perfecter of your faith? Lay aside those weights. Lay it aside and look to Jesus. We'll be right back.
I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible. But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 babies by the end of the year. And they can't do that without us. Every $28 provides that ultrasound, the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm going to give it my all. And that's my call to action to you. It's to be an activist and a participant for righteousness, for goodness, for truth, and for beauty. Not to just sit idly by and say, "Yep, it's all over. Jesus, set me up. Hurry up." I don't think that's biblical. That is not why Christ gave us the Great Commission. Be salt and light. Salt and light change the environments they come in contact with. And we're called to change some pretty dark times. We're very blessed to live in such a time as this.
We are. Let's welcome in Lucas Miles, who is the Senior Director of TPUSA Faith and is also a pastor and author and has been a friend for many years. And Lucas, thank you so much for joining in this moment. And, you know, as you've had an opportunity to see the amazing response to the Lord in the wake of this tragedy, what are your thoughts?
Obviously, first off, thanks for having me on. It's an honor to be talking about Charlie's legacy, and I've had the opportunity to work underneath him and with him for the last almost year and a half now, and have known him I think since 2020 when we first met. I don't know as though there's ever going to be another Charlie Kirk. We had stolen from us in this world. Perhaps one of the greatest minds and one of the greatest examples of a follower of Christ that I've certainly ever known in my life. And so it's a massive loss. I'm in Phoenix now, with the team, just trying to, just band together with everybody at TPUSA and really prepare our hearts for, I think, what Charlie would want. And that is, moving forward.
Yeah. And moving forward and pressing on to continue the work of the Lord, as you said in that clip that, we just played in the opening, to be salt and light and to fulfill the Great Commission. And with so many people, but especially so many young people, now we've seen the reports of how many new chapters people are signing up for of TPUSA to open those chapters, and the response, especially from young people and of college students. How has that been at TPUSA and as a pastor? This just has to be remarkable.
It's really incredible, the response. I mean, I'm getting reports from, pastors that this Sunday, their church attendance doubled. We certainly saw that at our church. I would guess that we had more people at church on Sunday this week than ever in human history on one day. I think that's pretty safe to say. The response, by students and, pastors across the country and just, citizens wanting to get involved is overwhelming. We've had 500 applications plus, and that's probably an old number now because they're coming in so fast, just to the faith department alone, at TPUSA, since the events last week. And it's encouraging to see that people are going, they're really, embracing that verse that meant so much to Charlie from Isaiah of "Here I am, Lord, send me." And I think that they're wanting to, do whatever they can to get into the fight.
Absolutely. And I think that's been so encouraging to see that action. I mean, I'm motivated. I mean, I get up every morning and get to do this, this amazing radio program with a network that is specifically focused on teaching the truth of the Word of God. And yet I find myself saying, I want to do more. I want to get more engaged. I want to not waste any time or opportunity that I have to do whatever I can, wherever I can. And I'm spurred on to that as well. And so for those who are listening who maybe they're newly discovering TPUSA and especially the faith element, or there are pastors that are listening, describe TPUSA faith specifically and how people and especially pastors can engage.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, TPUSA faith, it exists to eradicate wokeism from the American pulpit and to unite the church around primary doctrine. There's a lot of infighting among Christians. You know this very well. We see it all the time. If people don't think exactly like I do, then I can't fellowship with them in any capacity. And I think that's one of the things that's so great about Charlie's legacy is nobody could claim him or own him. There's people that are trying now in his passing. But Charlie had the ability to be friends with so many different types of people, that often disagreed with one another. He had the ability to just be part of and support. I mean, we had Catholic churches that we supported. We have, charismatic churches we supported, Reformed churches we supported, and we brought all these guys in the room. Charlie knew, I always called him Constantine. And he was like, the first time I told him that, I said, I think you're Constantine. And he's like, what do you mean? And I said, you're not a pastor, but you see the value in bringing all the pastors together in order to help speak into the issue and solve the problem. And, one of the main things that TPUSA Faith does is we've held pastor summits, usually do two a year. But, I tell you, we're going to be ramping up efforts. So who knows what that's going to look like, but we're going to figure that out very soon. And we would get 1,800 faith leaders together. We did that at Jensen Franklin's church this last year. We had 600 plus together in California just a month or so ago. And Charlie, just always loved that. In fact, one of the last conversations I had with him, he turned around to me. We were at Dream City getting ready to go on stage for Freedom Night. And he turned to me and he was just raving about the last pastor summit we did. He goes, that was so amazing. He goes, we killed it. He goes, you did such a great job. And so he just loved that aspect of bringing the church together in order to figure out how do we move forward, as one.
And, I was privileged to be part of a few events where I saw that in action, where Charlie would bring people together that, you may not think would be brought together, but he had a way of doing that and of refocusing everyone on what actually matters and saying, how can we together move forward and take all of our respective skill sets and move it forward? And it was always focused on the truth. And, there's, and I'm speaking with Lucas Miles, who's a pastor. He's the senior director of TPUSA Faith. You should follow him on social media, read his books. And, I'm seeing, especially after Sunday morning, and as you mentioned, there were probably more people actually in church this Sunday than possibly ever before, which is incredible. And there is a sentiment online that people are saying, if you're pastor did not speak about Charlie Kirk, you need to find another church. And the response to that has been, well, pastors, they're responsible for their individual flocks, and or you shouldn't be telling them what to say, or all kinds of response back to that. My perspective on this is that if a pastor, it's not about Charlie, it's about this moment in our country, and it's about responding to the questions that people have. Why did God allow something evil to happen? What happens after you die? I think we are being confronted with the reality of death more starkly, possibly, than ever in my lifetime. I mean, this is the first time that there's been this kind of not just political assassination, but truly a Christian martyr that that I knew personally. But even if you didn't know personally, it's affected so many people because he was our contemporary. And meeting that moment, if pastors are failing to do that, I agree with the general sentiment that you need to find a church that's willing to teach truth and to answer the cries and perhaps the fears and the questions of the congregation.
Yeah, you know, I've been a pastor for 20 plus years in the same church, and I continue to pastor that church while I'm also the senior director of TPUSA Faith. I commute back and forth between the Midwest and Phoenix, and I never want to be somebody that's telling a pastor, you have to talk about this. But in this moment, I just felt so strongly that Charlie's legacy in life and the fact that we have a Christian martyr before our eyes. Charlie did not die as a conservative thought leader. He died as a believer testifying to Jesus. It's the canary in the cage. And there's been people that have been going to churches for way too long saying, oh, I just love the children's program. And I know the preaching's watered down, but I just really want my kid to be in this youth group or something like that. There are more important things than entertaining your children so that they can, you know, have some great experience on Sunday morning. There's a thing called truth, and we need to raise up people and children, especially in the truth. Charlie believed in that. And if pastors are just glossing over this, they're not willing to talk about it, it says something about their character. So I'm not trying to cancel anybody, but knowing that we have some of the biggest pastors in this nation that are household names to everybody, and they're not willing to talk about this, it's really disgusting. And I lost half my church in 2015, 2016 because of a stand that I took. I know the risks associated with being bold from the pulpit, and I'm willing to do it again in a heartbeat. And I think that's why Charlie grabbed a hold of me. I think he saw that in me, and I'm honored. He always had an ability to see more in people than they could even see in themselves. We need to be seeking out churches that are willing to be strong in this day and age.
Absolutely. And it's so important to have a strong Bible-believing church that pastors are willing to take that stand and to say that without fear, they are willing to make those hard stands, because it's easy to kind of gloss over some of this and teach teach that Christ loves you or grace or some of these things, but not the impact of what that actually means. Like a clip that we played earlier on in the program where Charlie said, okay, but that means, you know, go and sin no more. And can you imagine if we're confronting the world with that today and saying to people, okay, Christ loves you, and because of that, embrace him and go and sin no more. That's the piece that we're missing. And I also, in the last few minutes I have with you, Lucas Miles this morning, along with that, I just found that the commentary from Vice President J.D. Vance yesterday in not only eulogizing his friend, but taking that witness of his friend and saying that he has been convicted to be spurred on to be more Christ-like, be a better husband and father. That is just an incredible moment for America. I mean, can you imagine any other world leader actually having the humility to go on a national program and to say those kinds of things publicly? I mean, I think this is an incredible moment for America in that type of leadership.
Yeah, look, first off, Charlie loved Vice President Vance, and they have a close relationship, and I think he'd be honored by, J.D. picking up the mantle yesterday and really, you know, doing such a great job with that. And you're right. This is something we want to see, you know, is revival. And I don't want the church running the state, but I want the church being so alive that even the highest leaders in the land are impacted by that revival, and that their hearts are touched and pricked. And I think that we saw that, you know, taking place yesterday. I think we've seen that happen in a lot this past, you know, few days. And so I think that's I'm very optimistic, you know, about this nation as I see what's been going on the last few days.
Me too. I mean, I have hope for this country, and I'm so encouraged to see how many people are turning to Christ. And so what is your message to those listening? Our AFR family, by and large, you know, those who listen are Christians, and I think are encouraged to hear that. Of course, you know, we have others on social media and of course all the haters that tune in that I always welcome and say, you know, this is great. This may be the only program that you hear truth. But what is your encouragement to Christians specifically in this moment to take advantage of every opportunity because the days are evil, as Ephesians 5 says?
No, I appreciate that. This has been obviously a tough week for all of us, but I think the church must have an action plan. going forward. You know, one thing I've been a little bit less or been more hesitant to talk about this week is, you know, one of the last projects that I worked on with Charlie is he wrote a foreword for a book that I had that just came out called Pagan Threat. And, you know, it was the pagan threat that took Charlie's life. And although we're seeing these revivals and I'm optimistic about it, there's still very much a contingency in this nation that is living opposed to and contrary to the Lord, and they hate everything that is good. And this is a pagan threat, and we have to stop it. So I put out a book called Pagan Threat. It's got a 7-step plan on how America moves forward. It was written before obviously everything happened, and Charlie wrote the foreword for this book, and it's an honor of my life to have been able to partner with him on that project, and I hope that America can really grab a hold of, as cliche as it is, that turning point right now as we figure out how to move forward and really be able to once and for all put a stop to godlessness in this nation.
Oh, so well said. And I'll look forward to reading that. And hopefully we can have you on again soon, Lucas Miles, to talk more about that. And I appreciate your time. And I'm so sorry for the loss of your friend. I know there were so many people that
knew him
so much closer than I did. And it's just it's difficult. And we love you and everyone at Turning Point. And Lucas Miles, you can follow him on social media. And I just want to close this segment with another great testimony to the faith of Charlie Kirk. And this is when he was talking about how he didn't have enough faith to be an atheist. This is Cut 11.
I commonly say, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I could never accept the presupposition that the natural world that we live in, the physics that we have discovered, the mathematics that keeps our entire being together, this is all an act of randomness. That takes a lot more faith than believing in a higher power or a natural order or an omniscient, omnipotent designer that put all this together. So I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Let's start there. Now, it's possible to do good things if you're an atheist, but no, I don't believe it's possible to conduct yourself in a regular moral order if you do not believe in a God. And I'll tell you why. Because as soon as you abolish the idea of a higher power, then all of a sudden you become the most important person. It's a very selfish way of thinking. The final thing that I say to atheists, I ask the question, I say, do you hope you're wrong? And so the answer to that question is, yes, I hope I'm wrong. At least there's a starting point. At least they might actually want to have a conversation. And you might be able to inquire towards a path to discovery. Now, if they say, no, I hope I'm right. Boy, what a tough existence that must be. You're trying to tell me you never want to see your loved ones again? You're trying to tell me you don't want to believe in ultimate justice? You're trying to tell me that you don't think there's anything more than this broken world that we live in? And that you take your own belief in a higher place than the actual betterment of those around you? That's a very, very difficult argument for me to accept. And so, to answer your question, my personal opinion is that you could do good things, but it's very difficult to lead yourself in a consistent moral order if you do not believe in a higher power.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. And as we are talking about putting our faith in action and being more Christ-like, responding to these opportunities, Turning Point is, of course, by far not the only organization that we can get involved in, that we can use our skills and talents for or support. And interestingly, we were planning on talking about this ministry last week. And then, you know, of course, the scope of everything changed in the wake of Charlie's assassination. But I think it's an incredible moment that we can talk today about Orphans Reborn with the president of the Slavic Gospel Association, Michael Johnson. And Michael, this is a really incredible ministry that is providing hope when hurting and vulnerable children encounter Christ. And on your page, it says more than 700,000 children are jammed into often bleak, underfunded, and cold orphanages across Russia and Eastern Europe. And so your ministry is taking the truth of the gospel of Christ to them. Good morning. Tell us more about Orphans Reborn.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. Well, this particular ministry started about 30 years ago when I was traveling throughout Siberia. And we're a ministry that we've been around since 1934. We were heavily involved in the distribution of Bibles into the Soviet Union for many years. We also had a radio ministry, Russian language radio ministry. But when the wall came down, we connected with Baptist churches. It's a network of about 6,000 churches. They were established in the early 1800s. And we exist to serve their churches and equip their workers to, you know, meet the needs and reach out with the gospel to the people in their cities, towns, and villages. So as I was traveling through Siberia, one of the big problems in Siberia is the rate of alcoholism among the families. And as a result of that, you know, there's a lot of violence in the home, and many of these children are taken out of the home and put into these state-run institutions. And it's a very difficult life for them. So I was traveling with the churches, and we were, you know, showing up at these state-run orphanages, and we'd walk in, and the orphanage director would welcome us in, and they would allow the church workers to do Bible studies and build relationships with the kids. And it was interesting to me, because that's the kind of thing that I don't think we would be able to do here. But they really have an effective ministry, And so at the end of the day, I talked to the guys about how we can help them do this with a sense of regularity. So they told me they needed transportation so that they can visit the orphanages on a regular basis, and then books and Bibles and resources and a stipend for the main coordinators of the ministry. And so we worked it all up, and the Japan doesn't have a used car market, so we're able to buy these Toyota vans and get them started with it. And so we're all up and running. And so basically we're able to do this at a cost of $60 per year per kid. So basically what they do is they go in every single week, they establish relationships with the kids. They build relationships with the kids. They conduct Bible studies with the kids. They share the gospel with the kids. They lead these young people to Christ. Because when the wall came down, the Russian government did a study that showed that when they forced these kids out of the orphanages on their 18th birthday, most of them end up 90%, 97% of them ended up on the streets. You know, prostitution, drug addiction, suicide, all these just horrible things that happens to these kids. So with the advent of this program, and we're working in many, many orphanages across the entire former Soviet Union, they're basically growing up in an environment with ongoing Christian input, and many of these kids come to faith in Christ before they leave the orphanages. So rather than ending up on the streets, they end up embraced by the local churches, who help them to, establish a life that is not based on the pursuit of criminality, but based on the pursuit of a relationship with Christ.
Wow, that is incredible! And thank you so much for caring about this enough to bring the truth of the gospel of Christ to these orphanages. And, you know, it hits home for me because I know at least our regular listeners know that my younger brother was adopted actually out of an orphanage in Ukraine. And and he's 25 now and is just an amazing young man for the Lord. He would send me Charlie Kirk reels almost every week. And so he's taking, over the last week, so hard. And he's a wonderful young man for Christ, and it's amazing. So I went with my family at the time. I was probably about 17 when we were there, and I went with my parents to that orphanage in Ukraine, and so I've seen, a lot of this, and seeing some of those conditions, and the Lord absolutely meant for him to be in our family, regardless of the circumstances of his birth. That's for his sovereign purposes, and he's just, I just love him so much. He's amazing. And but seeing this and seeing those conditions, I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's also incredible to see that so many of the young women who use abortion basically as a form of birth control. And so the fact that you even have children who are in orphanages that haven't been the victims of abortion is already a miracle. But to bring the truth of the gospel to them is so incredible. And so how can listeners who are hearing this and, wanting to engage help support Orphans Reborn. Beyond the website is sga.org. But how can people get involved and also pray?
Well, in terms of the orphan ministry, they could just hit sga.org/orphans, and you'll be directed to the page that talks about the details of the program. And also, there's a 30-day devotional that you can download that features stories of these orphans and the way they've they were able to change their lives as a result of this particular ministry. So that might be an encouragement to your listeners as well. But it's sga.org/orphans.
Mm. And this is really incredible, and it's a discipleship ministry, and I so appreciate you coming on this morning. And so that website is sga.org, and then you can go to the Orphans Reborn part of this. But this isn't the only ministry. This is one aspect of your ministry, and so overall, you know, is there anything else from the ministry that you'd like to highlight this morning of the people that SGA helps?
Well, for us, we don't send Western missionaries over, and there's a lot of groups that do that. We exist to equip the churches over there. So we have three priorities. One, training in sound theology and sound doctrine. So we support the largest group of evangelical seminaries and Bible institutes in those countries in partnership with the Baptist Union churches in those countries. And then we sponsor national church planting ministries, missionaries who have been trained to go out into previously unreached towns and villages to preach the gospel and plant new churches. So we have a lot of church planting activity throughout those countries, particularly in the far eastern part of Russia, where we support an aviation ministry there. And then we equip them with resources to minister to both word and deed. So, you know, we provide camp scholarships for the churches. And this summer we sponsored 80,000 children to attend Christian summer camp. We help with humanitarian aid, particularly in Ukraine right now. Where the network of churches that we support there are ministering to people who are victims of the war. And we have a Christmas outreach called Emmanuel's Child. And, you know, last year we distributed roughly 75,000 gifts through church services. And it's just a variety of different things that we do. So, you know, basically, you know, we follow the programs and the lead of the churches over there. And the more funds we can provide, the more resources we can provide, mm-hmm. the more people they can reach throughout their communities.
Amazing.
And expose them to the gospel, lead them to faith in Christ, and then be discipled in strong Bible churches.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Michael Johnson, president of the Slavic Gospel Association. You can find more about that, support that ministry at sga.org. Thank you for the work that you're doing and for advancing the truth of the gospel of Christ. And, you know, that really is our mission as Christians, is to advance the truth of the gospel of Christ. And we'll close with what Charlie said about Christ being risen, which is the seminal point of our faith and truth. And he was talking with Bill Maher. So this is Cut 5.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed, Bill.
Why do we say that in the present tense?
Because it is a constant truth in our life.
He is risen. I always noticed that was interesting to me.
That's a really important question, actually.
It is. Tell me.
Well, because the fact that he is risen transcends time. It's not just in the present sense. It's that of all time, that promise is accessible to all of us. And so it's a proclamation to all people. Because if you said, hey, he was risen, it's like it's just merely a historical event. It almost underplays the metaphysics.
You can reach me and my team, Jenna, at afr.net. Go forward in truth. Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.